We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
We nailed it this week, guys. Nailed it.
First try.
Yeah. I've been rehearsing all week. Even when I played back the stream on Twitter for my wife, and as soon as I started the show, she knew right away what I screwed up. She's like, home theater fans.
Theater fans. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, fans. She goes, that's where you got tripped up. And I go, I know. And then I started again and started with fans. And I'm like, it's like, hey, oh well. Home theater nerds. Nerds. So,
it's still quite hot here. Can we not talk about fans?
I know. I'm turning yours off.
Pretty hot here too.
Yeah, but you've got your air conditioning. You guys.
Do. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, I heard that back last week too, and I was like, he had no, okay. So how we doing, boys? How's our week going? How's everything going, other than the temperature?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, it says with his chilled margarita.
Let's talk about the weather all day.
Yeah, John, you're still pretty far away. Your voice. Yeah.
I can fillet the mic if that's what you need me to do,
or turn it up or something. Yeah, your audio is going to be like, is it really?
Yeah.
Look at this. I see. Here we go. While we're talking cool stuff, Paul immediately jumps straight in. Says, have I changed to a new mic sounding extra smooth?
Yeah, you turned yours up, but now John's is down to a level. So it's going to be tough to balance that on three tracks.
See how we go.
We're all right. You know, we're all about the experiences, the sights, and the sounds.
Yeah.
It's not enough that you just look good, John.
I mean, you know.
There you go.
I got to have some flaws. See, the problem is every time I speak, it reduces the volume automatically. I turned it up, and it just dropped it down two notches.
Well, let's see here. Let me look. Edit mic settings for you. Automatically adjust microphone. Watch this. For John. Boom. Now try, John.
Try John.
Okay. There we go.
That's it.
So it was you, not me. No,
see,
it did it again. It just dropped.
I know, but I can, you can too, in the actual app that we're on right here, you can adjust your settings. You had it on automatic, which was pretty low. I just bumped you up to 120. It was at 100.
Audio.
Don't touch anything.
Well, but it's still doing it, is what I'm saying. It readjusted again.
No. You should be good. It sounds good.
Okay.
I think.
I'm looking at the lights on the microphone.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what I'm hearing. See, you can't hear yourself. We can hear you. And it sounds louder now. That's what I'm saying. So
all good, man. Whatever.
Yeah. Get me Paul Hurt on the line. He'll tell you all about it. It's like it's
Paul's on the chat.
You can hear yourself. And if you can, you'd know what we're talking about.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. What do we got? Anything else? I don't know. Let's see. Oh. You know what we got to get to? We got to get to our box of popcorn. We got another box of popcorn this week. Joe K found a loophole, AV science. So Joe called me and he asked me about this. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, AV science wanted to sponsor us. And I said, well, I don't do commercials, but if they appreciate what we do, they're more than happy to do that. And I'll mention them every week. So that's what we're doing. And I'm like, AV science. And he wrote a thing out, appreciates you sharing your passion, and they want to support the show. So I'm like, by all means, you can support the show all you want. You know, like I said, I'm like, I've used AV science. I've never bought anything there, but I use AV science for
great commercial.
No, but that's what I said. I'm not doing commercials, but if you want to send in stuff, or if you're a listener and you want to send in comments, like I said, it goes to the front of the show. If you want to send in anything, I'll talk about that. And that's what I'm talking about here. So it's like, you know, AV science. That's what he wants us to talk about. So that's what I'm talking about. So
awesome.
Right? I mean,
right.
he bought us a box of popcorn. I really appreciate that. And so it gets pushed to the front of the show. And I appreciate AV Science supporting us that way. I mean, that's fantastic. I told him no strings attached, no nothing. Yeah. I'm not doing commercials. And they're like, yeah, no, we like you guys and we're going to support you guys. Cool.
Awesome.
Cool in the gang. So John's like, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Tune in next week for a box of popcorn bought by incontinence pants sellers. Yeah. And, you know, denture cream. And
I know. It's, yeah.
Be the cheapest Dr. advertising. It's going to be the cheapest Watch advertising.
In Blue Chew. Those yeah. are your sponsors.
Oh, God. Manscaping.
Yeah, in Manscaped. Manscaped.com.
Oh, if it got like that, I'd have to put a stop to it. I'd be like,
it'd be actually, the cheapest you know ad spend ever
to the end of the show, and I'd say, these are all of our sponsors. Watch the scroll. Seriously, because I don't like doing commercials and stuff. But you know, I'm getting uncomfortable right now. I am apparently.
Apparently. I'd like to take any sponsor that wanted to be part of the show, but
not
my show. So.
yeah. But then it gets into the show. It's part of the show, and you got to start talking. I don't like that. I want it. It's the experiences. That's what I'm doing. And
yeah. I mean, well, we absolutely should not advertise at any point. It would be terrible to do that. Oh, that's good stuff.
Let me not get my page. Bottle of Newprint.
John's drinking.
See, we got Diet Red Coke, Bull, yeah.
We Diet Coke. It's like, look at me.
I can't drink from this side of the can, but.
And in true home theater fashion, me. Yeah. I got unlit. It's just a thermos. It's a Captain America thermos, but I'm not
a Marvel
product. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, let me. That's my sponsor. I'll show you my phone.
Let me take this call on my iPhone quick.
I think I'll just stretch out of the way of my.
Speaking of sponsors, good. Let's do a little bit of sponsorship of ourselves here. We're on Twitter. We're on Steve's Twitter. We're on Brightside Home Theater Twitter. We're streaming in a bunch of places. I don't know what happened, but our YouTube numbers tripled. Last week,
I saw that.
For the show that came out on Friday, I didn't know 65 was that popular. That was the show title. Seriously, I was like, what the? I didn't look for, I don't know, till yesterday. And I was like, holy crap. The only difference was we were on Twitter. So maybe people are seeing it. And I noticed our numbers. We probably got maybe 10 to 15 more YouTube followers in that amount of time. So that was good. We're literally like 100 away from 1,000. We're at 899 or something like that now on YouTube, which for us, we're just chipping away and growing slow.
If you're listening, please follow on YouTube.
Yeah. Follow, like, tell your friends. Cause like I say all the time, I'm like, it does mean no good to tell everybody I know now about it because they're already doing it. You know, like if you're hearing me say this now, you're probably already a follower somewhere. Huh. Right. So it's up to that. You guys to tell us, you know, to talk about us. I heard, actually, was it Danny Speakers? Danny Speakers is the one that turned Paul Hurd onto it. Somehow they ran into each other online. So it's like, and people are coming on all the time and it's great. Seeing new names in the chat and stuff. It's a lot of fun. So, all right. We ready to get to our first segment, our main segment. Putting the milk at the front of the store, boys. All right. You guys have control of the board. Let's go.
Don't remind John. We'll all get kicked off.
Yeah, I'm in full screen, so I don't have control of anything.
All right. Let's do this first.
Ooh, yeah. So we haven't put the sounder in. This is Steve's House of the Dragon finished update. Right. It's all complete. Finally done it. Episodes 9 and 10 this week. And boy, what good episodes they were.
Welcome to 2022.
Yeah, quite. Everyone else in the known world has
Merry
already seen
Christmas.
it. yeah. Yeah, very, very good. What a series. You know, it's fantastic. You guys all know that. Everybody else in the world has seen it, other than I think Paul, who I think is going to buy it in the chat. But yes, it's very, very cool. Home theater wise, the quality just continues from episode to episode. It's great. Again, no spoilers from me, but the big kind of end of episode 9 is really, really good and sounded fantastic. Mm. And then obviously certain sequences in episode 10 with, towards the end of that were great as well. Lots of envelopment, the Atmos being used to decent effect for a TV show. It's really, really good. The only downside, which we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, is it'll be 2025 or later before we see any more. And then does that mean the actors have aged out? Does this mean, you know, or does the show itself even go away? I hope not. Right. Cause it's really, really good. And it does end on a, my God, what happens next? Sort of thing. So yeah, really, really great. Highly recommend these discs. You guys already know that. But you know, anyone listening needs to get hold of it ASAP, and give it a watch and not wait 6 months like I did.
Yeah. I got, one of my favorite scenes that I used to test, test the HDR, test the black levels and stuff. I'll be talking about probably next week. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, I think. But there's a new update out for the Lumigen, so I'll talk about that. I'm going to do a quick tweak of the week today. But yeah, so that we'll be talking about that next week. But this is an amazing, amazing series. It looks awesome. I mean, it looked awesome on the stream. It's come so far from when we were watching Game of Thrones before, to what we have now. And these discs are, you know, nothing short of spectacular. It's so much
fun. This is the thing. I mean, and just again, for those listening, Paul Hurt in the chat, we just put up on the screen there. Mm. He's added, well, I think he must be in House of the Dragon, but it's at HOTG. So yeah. Not sure. House of Game of Thrones of Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
to his to buy list and says that watching Brightside keeps costing him money. Well, there you go.
Costing me money too, Paul.
To be fair, John, this last couple of weeks, you are hitting buy.
I know, I'm buying a lot of full-price movies lately, which I'm not want to do.
That's got to be done. But this is, as you say, John, these as well, this is these discs are fantastic. This series is amazing. It does, and I know I keep saying it, but it really does feel to me like a Game of Thrones series 9, you know, season 9. Yeah. It's just such a smooth transition, and really good. And again, a couple of weeks ago, I said my best friend that I've been talking about with, who said it was really talky. I don't get that at all. I haven't found that it, when you've got dialogue, it's genuinely keeping interest. It's full of kind of what's going to happen next. It's great. And I could go back and just rewatch this tomorrow and not be bored for a second. So yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of details in the picture, a lot of fun details in the sound. When you go back through and watch specific scenes and stuff, it's fun. When you go back and if you went and did the whole series, you're going to take out stuff that you didn't have before and see stuff. There's a lot of depth to this entire series. Game of Thrones on, so.
There is, although there's some stuff in episode 10 with a particular effect on a birth that it was almost too good. just like, yeah, don't have that after just eating. Don't watch it after eating. Oh. Were you guys, when you watched that, John, were you guys watching that over dinner? I do hope not.
I don't know. Probably not.
Good news.
Probably not.
Yeah, yeah. That sequence is just, toe curling and flesh crawlingly graphic. Even for a bit of a gore hound like me, it's like, yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, I can't. I watch these all in my theater anyway, so I don't watch TV. I don't eat in my theater other than, you know, popcorn,
Junior Mints,
and snacks.
Junior Mints. Yeah,
exactly. Junior Mints, bunch of crunch. Yeah.
I don't eat in mine either. Actually, that would be interesting to know what people in the chat and people listening and watching think about that. Do people generally eat full meals in your home cinema? Because doesn't that irritate when you go to a commercial cinema and people bring an entire, you know, 3-course meals with them?
I did that once. I'll take that. I did that once. Yes. Jen and I saw Oh, what the heck? What? Oh, Atomic
Silence of the Lambs.
No, Atomic Blonde. And in that type of environment, it was a really nice theater. It's over at in Foxborough, Gillette Stadium. And they have where the waitress will come over to you during the movie. And you're sitting at a table and you order before. So you get there like a half hour before, an hour before, have dinner. But then you order your snacks. But then you can page them and they'll bring you food and stuff. It was fantastic if you're there for a movie that you can take your eyes away from. Yeah. I hated it for Atomic Blonde because I was there was there for the experience of like an action movie. And I mean, she comes over and she's got her little light when it's like, whether it's me or the guy next to me or in front of me and you're walking around. I'm like, I've never been back. It was absolutely awful. Mm. The only other, I saw Borat that way at a cinema pub. That movie, okay, it works. Yeah. That works because you're sitting at a table and it's like, bring me more popcorn. It's like sitting in your living room. But in my theater, no, I don't even recline. I don't do anything. I'm sitting in my theater. I eat my popcorn. I got my snack and a drink and that's it. And
I can honestly say in what, 5 and a bit years of Cinema George's existence, nothing other than popcorn, cinema snacks and drinks have been consumed. Yeah. I could not eat hot food in there. I wouldn't take a hot dog in there. I wouldn't put anything that would smell like that would just, not happening.
Yeah.
But John's obviously, yours is different. Well, when you're eating dinner. Yeah.
I can say that. Yeah. Well, but I don't watch anything I super care about. Like I'll watch TV episodes or things like that while we're eating dinner. But if I want to sit down and consume the media, I wait till after we're done.
Meeting. Yeah.
And then, of course, I watch a lot of subtitled programming, and I can't do that while I'm eating.
No, because I was going to say that.
If I have to be reading,
keep missing your mouth.
Right. I can't eat and be paying attention to reading the screen. So, so I don't do that while we're eating. But, technically, it's basically an open floor plan. So from my kitchen table, I can see my screen and watch TV. So,
Actually, it's an interesting sort of split on the chat. Actually, so you've got Mike Schramm says he does pizza night in his theater, but that's a multi-use room, isn't it? If I remember rightly, so it's kind of we've got Stephen at. So he's got in a family room. So snacks for movie night and dinner now and then. And then you've got the
sports events are completely different. That's a great point. In my theater, I serve prime rib in my theater. For like a Bruins game, a Patriots game, something like that, or a big event. But even back when I was having guys over like regularly, weekly, I'd have Buffalo. I'd have a whole spread set up on the side. But that's, lights on, sporting event. You're not watching a movie. You're watching a sporting event. That's to me is completely different.
Steve, you don't even want the aroma of food in your room. So.
Nope. No, nothing more than popcorn. I'd even, for World Cup finals that we've done in there and had people round and kind of, really gone to town with it. No. Eat your food and then come in and see the film or the movie, sports, whatever it is. What I was thinking is there seems to be a thing. So you've got Jonathan R says, so the Seaden cinema has a rule of dry snacks only. So I was wondering if there's a split between when you're watching it in a multi-purpose room or in a dedicated theater room, whether that then changes how people consume whilst watching the film or what they consume, should I say.
I feel like if I had a dedicated room, I'd be the same. Cinema snacks only. I wouldn't really want people eating in there.
See, it depends on the content for me. And it's like even in the new one I'm designing, everything's going to be at the back. And it's at the back. So like when we're watching sporting events, get up and get, and like I said, I've served prime rib that you eat at like prime rib. I've served prime rib as prime rib sandwiches, cook it the exact same way. But if you have, like I have the room for a table and a long, like buffet table style thing, chips, snacks, dips, desserts, all of that stuff. But then again, you're sitting down for 3 or 4 hours. It's not a 2 hour movie, If it's a 2 hour movie, no, lights out, just regular snacks.
Yeah.
And, hosting a sporting event is completely different to me.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I mean, yeah. So Paul again in the chat says, if I eat and watch, I'll end up redecorating the sofa. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's, you know, if you spilled it on the thing, I think that might be more worse than the smell. You know, if someone spilled a, you know, a thing of fries or, you know, ketchup on my cinema seats, you know, that would be the last thing they'd ever do. And then, you know, they'd have to dig up the body. But then you all know I'm very particular. Yeah. Well, this is it. Yeah, I know what to say. I know what to tell the police, and the chances are I know them. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have a real problem with that in a commercial theatre, DJ. I could not stand to be sat at a table with all the clinking of the glasses and the cutlery and all this crap with the movie playing.
No.
I mean, you either go out for dinner or watch a movie.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do both.
Yeah. And I didn't like
they
and
have
I've never
them here
been
too.
Back.
I mean, I think they're all over the US. I mean, I've been once also just to try it out. And we did eat dinner and we did the whole thing, but I've never been back. So I guess I didn't enjoy it that much.
But we are going for different things, aren't we? We as the movie nerds, the home theater nerds are going for a different kind of experience to the person who goes for dinner and a movie together.
Right.
So, you know, I suppose we've got to allow for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, I've never been back. So. Not for me.
Yeah, I've never been to one.
I don't recommend it. All right. What do you want to get to next, John? You ready?
I think we have all the same stuff for the most part.
No, you've got two. Yeah, you've got two
we'll
specials.
Get to that. Oh, do I?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So, John, you want to talk
what
Warrior?
Was this? Warrior. Yeah.
What was this?
Well, the problem is, you know what I discovered because of taking these pictures? That they've done away with static menus that just tell you what the movie is. Now everything's a moving, rolling movie while you're there, and trying to take pictures of it is pretty annoying. But yeah, this was Warrior, 4K disc, so 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. I basically had never seen this. I bought it because Steve talked about it few weeks ago on the show, and it sounded like something I would enjoy, and I sure did. Yeah, this was really, really good. Very formulaic. I feel like you saw what was going to happen from the second the two brothers were on the screen together. It's like, okay, you know that. So everybody else there were touting in the fight that was the guy to beat. You knew they were all getting beat. Spoilers, I'm sorry. But because you knew what was going to happen, the two brothers were going to end up, you know, in the ring. But this was a really good movie. I thought the performances were great. Nick Nolte was great. Tom Hardy was really good. And yeah, the soundtrack, the sound design was really good. I mean, the hits hit hard. You know, you could feel the hits. Tom Hardy, you know, he was like a freight train. And it felt like it every time he got in the ring. And I thought the picture quality was great. I thought the audio was great, and I thought it was a great movie. So I'm really glad that I picked this up. I had never heard of it, honestly. I missed it completely. And I was thankful that you brought it up because because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's basically MMA Rocky.
It is.
You know, just with the extra brotherly bit to it to make it a little different. But as I remember rightly, I think Nolte was either nominated. I don't think he won, but I think he was nominated for that performance.
For best
supporting. I think, and of course, with that sequence in the hotel room when when you see that he's been drinking and he cuts loose, just is riveting. You can't take your eyes off it. And I think him and Hardy really do, you know, they just bring such a, you sense the history between them, even when they're not using the dialogue, you know, they're just such a cleverly done thing. And this is one of the movies, I've got to say, rather embarrassingly, because now we're on Twitter as well. Everyone's listening. This is one of the movies that pretty much always makes me roll a tear at the end. The line, "It's okay, Tommy. It's okay." Right. Just, oh man, I don't know what it is. I've no idea why, because there's no obvious emotional connection. But when I hear, you know, I think it's something to do with this absolute beast who is just lets go. And I think there's something about that that I thought was just, it's so moving. It's beautifully done. And whilst it's all sweaty and they're beating each other to a pulp, and yet you just get that one line just gets me every time.
I'm not going to lie. I really, really crave like 5 more minutes at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like one more scene.
Yeah.
Because I feel, you know, you pretty much know what happens, but I would have liked to have just kind of seen, hey, 5 minutes later, this is what happens. Yeah. But
the sign of a good movie, isn't it? It leaves you wanting more, but you'd never want a sequel. I wouldn't want to see another one.
No,
this is just as it is great.
I wanted 5 more minutes, not
2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's a Lionsgate disc, isn't it? So of course you get the really good, the Atmos on every Lionsgate disc is fantastic. And is really beefy in this. And the picture, I think it's grainy, isn't it? It's quite grainy at times. It's been shot down and dirty deliberately.
Yeah, but I think it was intentional.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. Have you seen it, Deej? I'm assuming you have. Really?
Well, yeah. Nope. My kids gave it to me for Christmas a couple of years, when it first came out, many years ago. Mm. And I knew everything about it. And I'm like, I'm not watching it. It's way too close to home for me. I know everything you were saying. I'm like, that's why. And I'm like, listening to you guys, I'm like, John and I have had this conversation. We watch movies for different reasons. And I'm like, I was going to say,
you know everything about it. You've seen Maverick 97 times, but now I know what you're saying now.
But you know what I mean? Like it's just, no. I was like, I could get into it more, but Van Gool says Warriors $12.99 at Best Buy and Steelbook is $19.99.
So yeah, I think good. I got it. It was a pretty good deal on Amazon too. Mm. I think I paid $13-14 for it. So
yeah, it's well worth picking up, guys. I mean, again, I DJ, so I mean, obviously, I get what you're saying, and you know, if it hits close to home, then that's fine.
No. And here's the best part: I own it on disc. I own it on Kaleidoscope.
Wait for it.
Why'd you buy it on Kaleidoscope?
Yeah,
because I know the movie. I love the movie, and it's not the movie; it's me. So someday I probably will get to it. Like, I don't know. I mean,
floods of tears, Deej, mate.
I've got this disc I'll never watch, but let me buy it on
somebody. Just like me and my buddy were talking about the premise when it first came out, and he's a black belt in MMA, you know, in jiu-jitsu, and he and I was getting emotional. I'm like, how the hell am I gonna push play on this thing? I can't.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, I get it. But it's really good. And then again, one of those films that definitely makes me well up every single time.
Yeah.
I really like it. I must have seen this movie 10 times. I must have done. And again, I had it on Blu-ray and I picked up the 4K disc as soon as it was available. I don't think it's out here yet. I imported it. Pretty sure it never came out here or hasn't. Lionsgate just don't release many 4K discs over here, it seems. So those over here, it's worth importing. Those over there for that kind of price, you absolutely pick it up. And of course, there's an extra layer of kind of truthfulness because we know that Tom Hardy has recently won a number of jiu-jitsu competitions. Right. And I think this is where he fell in love with it. I think it was on the back of this and the training he did for it. And he's kept that training going. And I think this is what then led to him winning tournaments for real.
He won. Usually people start very young with
that. Well, when you see him in movies, I don't know if you guys remember Rock and Roller. I don't know if you've seen that Guy Ritchie movie. And if you see Tom Hardy in that, he's skinny, he's small, he's nondescript. And these days the man's an absolute, I mean, obviously with Bane and everything else, but he's an absolute, you know, unit. He's ginormous. You know, not tall, but just really stocky. And I'm pretty sure this is where he started his training and kind of has gone from there. Don't think he'd done much before that.
Tank in this movie.
He's a force of nature in this. Yeah. He reminds me of Russell Crowe in Gladiator and Tamura Morrison in Once Were Warriors, you know, these absolute force of nature, performances where you would not, you know, you wouldn't want to upset him at all.
Yeah.
it's very good.
Let's see. Let's see.
You ordering the pop-up book, Deej?
No, no. Actually, I was just...
He's trying to buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah, the Laserdisc. Yeah.
I was actually just checking to see what it had on Kaleidoscape, and it is 4K with Atmos, so...
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So...
Van Gool's just saying in the chat that Tom Hardy was skinny in Star Trek Nemesis. I wouldn't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Yeah. You guys have seen them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, that's a great one. That's a great choice, that one, John. I'd forgotten I'd mentioned it, to be honest. I must admit.
Yeah.
So no, that's very cool. I'm glad you enjoyed
it.
I
pay attention. Yeah.
No, man, no, it's awesome.
Almost everything I watched this week was on your recommendation.
Oh, that's okay. I've got plenty more.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Let's see. What do I want to go with next? Let's do, Steve will like this.
Oh. Okay, I'll be back in about, 5 minutes, guys?
Yeah. Oh, no. So this was part of my Father's Day. So you can see right under it, you have on my, we're talking about FastX.
Yeah.
It dropped early. Early. I mean, it was in the theaters. It landed in the theaters like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And it was out to, digital. And I was able to get it on Kaleidoscape. So that's where, I bought it right. I think I pre-ordered it because I've got them all anyways. But yeah, I had already done and we forgot to mention, but we'll talk John Wick 4 probably next week, John. Because Steve's going to watch it this week, so we'll move that one to next week.
I thought he had, but that's
yeah. So did I. That's what we were talking.
I've seen the first 5 minutes on it, but the rest of it, it's got to be watched at a very particular time because of the sheer power of that.
Yeah, that's definitely one worth waiting for the three of us to be able to the input on that one. So I finally got to see that. I hadn't seen it yet, and then to. We're talking about another movie in a minute. And but anyways, Sunday morning, Father's Day, I watched John Wick. And then right from that went right into Fast X. And I didn't put John Wick in the show notes because I've already talked about that in the past. But it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'll be mentioning it briefly in a second. But Fast X, oh my God. So realistic, guys.
Yeah. I'm sure. Like,
I didn't know you could do that with a car. I really enjoy this franchise. I know, Steve, this is like oil and water to you. I don't know.
It's the first one's
did they
fantastic.
Film all these in Spain or something? Is something that, what happened to you?
One of them they did, yes, on a closed highway in Spain. The first one is great. I love the first one. I really like that movie, and I've seen that loads of times. Again, I've got that in 4K. It's 2 to 473 that I'm less keen on. Can I just say, Deej, before you talk any more about it, I think you're trolling me with that picture. I had no idea. So we've got Fast X, next to that Fast 8, next to that The Fifth Element. Deej, what the heck?
I know. I didn't do that on purpose, but nice of you to notice.
I really think it's Fast 10 also. But
it is.
Yeah,
yes, but it's just Fast X, and that's the idea. But yeah, okay.
I'm just saying.
So,
I don't know.
Pedantry corner.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, Fast X, Fast 10, but it's like Fast X is like the play. They said when it came out, it's like Fast X, like Fast S. That's how you're supposed to say it. So, but on Kaleidoscape 4K, Atmos, everything in this is over the top. Right. And it's supposed to be the colors, the vibrancy, everything from beginning to end on this thing. I had a blast with it. I really liked the movie itself, how they tied pretty much the entire franchise. They tied it all up into this episode. I guess we could call it. This is legitimately what it is. It's turned into a series instead of a movie. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you're a fan of the franchise, and you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to talk spoilers or anything like that, but plenty to take in from the entire series, all the way from Fast and Furious, all the way up to 9. Easy for me to say, but I liked it, and I'm looking forward to Fast 11.
XI.
XI. Yeah. Fast XI. I don't know what they're going to call that one because they've had new names for like almost all of them, right?
Yeah. Hopefully Fast and the Furious, Never Again. That'll be a great title. No more required.
I don't think so. The way they're doing this with the generations
of people.
I think
he said he wants this to be a trilogy. Didn't Vin Diesel say he wants this?
Well, we've
got to
be careful
trilogy.
With spoilers. Yeah, we've got to be a little bit careful because the reason that it's a trilogy is because of the what happens at the very end, isn't it?
Oh,
without saying what that
like
is. Yeah,
said, I just know he did an interview saying, I haven't seen any of them other than the first couple.
Oh, really? Oh.
I stopped at Tokyo Drift, so whatever that was.
Number three. Yeah,
I was done after that, so.
See, I liked that one, and then I liked how later on they bring in, because each one has a different group of characters, but then they got far enough in that all those characters are coming back, and they're all, that's the whole theme of this one, like family, they're all together, and it's, I liked it. And it, I mean, especially on Father's Day, it really, you know, it sounds stupid, but it did, it hit home, you know, you're like, oh, it's family. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Yeah. But aren't most of these movies?
Well,
anyways?
I mean, so is John Wick 1 through 4, but
right.
That doesn't mean they're not fun.
I'd say these are a little more ridiculous.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well, didn't they drive a car into space in the last one or something?
Well, yeah, I think so, in 9 they went to space, right?
Yeah, then they strap a rocket to one of them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like,
In fairness, I have tried to watch them. This is not like ones that I've just decided, you know, like Harry Potter. I mean, I've only seen the first one and I know I hate the others. Whereas these, I have tried to watch them occasionally. And the last one I think I watched was Fast 8 and I got 30 minutes into it and I just could not. I had lost the will to live. Yeah. And I mean, that was not in the cinema room. That was on a small TV whilst I was on holiday.
Well, that's part of the issue, Steve. These things are meant to be enjoyed in a cinema room. They're not
I'm
meant
pretty
to be
sure
on your-
the delivery method doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, it does. If it doesn't, then why'd you waste all that money on your room?
I know. Everyone that listens to this regularly, anyone that listens regularly, hopefully you notice that we flip-flop. Well, you don't. I flip-flop on this all the time just to be awkward.
That's what I'm like. I don't think you know which side you originally had anymore. Yeah,
it depends on the circumstance, really.
Right. It's so funny.
Yeah. But I have tried to watch them and I just can't. I lose the will to live. And I don't dislike the people that are in them generally. I mean, Vin Diesel's, again, I mean, I really enjoy Bloodshot. I thought Bloodshot's great. And you enjoyed
Diesel's
it six times.
Six.
Yeah. Oh, was he? Oh, right. I'm sorry. I thought he was a bloke. Oh, never mind. Anyway, and the people that are, thespian. Right. Gotcha. I gotcha. I thought you might have had a lisp. So I like the people in
we're
them.
Off
it's just that when they come to that's it. Yeah. Or you're joking at the moment, Elon will put us up front. We'll be CEOs this time next week. So I like the people in them. I just when they come together in this just ridiculous anti-gravity car stuff, and again, every now and then he goes, family. And it's all a bit, you know, okay. And I just, I don't know. Like I said, the first one's great. The worst just get progressively worse. Hey, Jonathan R., you're a legend.
Jonathan R., I love that. And I could say this because, I love this. I'm with Steve here. I've never seen any of these and never will. It's like, well, then why do you know you're with Steve?
Life's too short, John. I get you. Jonathan,
well, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He goes, way too many other things to watch. But it's like, I've never seen them and I hate them. Wait, what? No. And that's what I like about them, too, is like they're absolute bubblegum, you know, popcorn crap. Leave brain at door and just have fun. And I think why people started to not like them is because the first one was as grounded as you can be in a movie like that, right? And then they got progressively worse and worse, like the John Wicks, really. Yeah. But when we get to John Wick, we'll talk more about that.
By the way, looking at that graphic just super quick, can you pop that back up a second?
Yeah,
just absolutely. Looking at that one, you've got Final Score as well.
Oh, yeah.
John, that's the one we were talking about, the Dave Bautista soccer, Die Hard in a football stadium.
Didn't I buy that on the show?
You probably did. Maybe.
Yeah, I think you might have done. Yeah, I've still never seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
Yeah. So we're the football fans.
Right.
Yeah.
And DJ's the one who owns it.
Yep. There you go.
But probably hasn't watched it either.
So. No, nope. No. Obviously, no.
Nope. Looks good.
Maybe silly.
Yeah.
It's got a great tile.
Yeah. Right. I'm starting to think, Deej, you don't watch a film until you've bought the fifth copy of it. And then
that's how I know it's quality. It's like, they keep pushing it out in different versions. You got to know it's real. Oh, all right. Let's have John do some talking here.
Oh, okay.
Ocean's 11.
This was Ocean's 11. This was on Blu-ray disc, 1080p. DTS Master Audio 5.1. I had just was surprised that I didn't own this movie on Blu-ray because I had an itch to watch it recently, and I went looking and I didn't own it, so I promptly went and bought it. And yeah, this is one of my all-time favorite movies. I really, really love this movie. Hadn't seen it in a while. I guess I had not upgraded my DVD copy and I don't own my DVDs anymore. So I no longer had a copy of this. I mean, the disc itself is a little unremarkable. I mean, it wasn't really a tour de force in the audio department. You know, if anybody that's seen the movie, you'll know. I mean, there's a couple of, tongue tied. There's a couple of explosions.
Catchy, isn't it?
Yeah. And they hit okay. You know, there's some good rumble to a couple of the explosions. But this is a heist movie. It's fun. You know, like I said, there's not a lot of car chases and gunshots and all that kind of stuff. But you know, for Blu-ray, I thought it looked great. Like I said, sounded fine. But yeah, and I mean, has not seen this movie, right? Everybody's seen it, so I'm not telling anybody about it. But if you've never seen it, I mean, do yourself a favor, because like I said, this is great. I've seen this a number of times, but hadn't seen it in a while, and I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. This is just a great movie. So
cool. It is a great film. I've got the Blu-ray. I've got the first all three actually on a trilogy set. I think they released. I'm surprised they haven't come out in 4K actually, because movies are all about the look, I think, rather than the sound. I mean, they're supposed to look glamorous. Everybody looks incredible. That, you know, it's all all the suits are impeccably done. It's all very visual. So you'd think Warners would have released these on 4K, probably coming quite soon, I imagine.
I hope so.
But yeah, it's a great movie, and it's a very easy watch, isn't it?
It is.
It's not a movie that you've got to kind of again, this should be one you can have dinner to, because Brad Pitt's eating every time you see him in this. Nice. But you can kind of just watch this and just let it wash over you. It's a, you know, very, very well made film. And again, it's just a film where everyone just looks cool.
Well, and everybody just looks like they're having the time of their life. They look like they're legit all buddies that decided to get together and make a movie. Like George Clooney and Brad Pitt seem like they've been best friends forever. You know, they just have that chemistry, and you know, all of them do, but those two especially. It is just a fun, like, you could tell everybody just had a great time making this movie. You know, or at least you hope they did. But it feels like they did.
Because, I think they did, especially the way they went on to make so many more.
Yeah, a
couple together, more. You know, and then bring in other people and. It just like it just, you know, just like Fast and the Furious. It's all about family. It's, you know, so Jonathan R. with the Ocean's 11. Very good movie. Good pick, John. Just wanted to, just in case you were doubting yourself.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure. And again, another just really crappy DVD menu or Blu-ray menu screen.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah,
you're showing us the special features.
But I couldn't figure out how to get rid of it. Like, it wouldn't go away. So.
Yeah, these were the strange, ill-fated DVD Blu-rays from Warners where the film would just start, and you've got to know which button on your remote to press to bring up the special feature. It wasn't clear. They did a number of these, and they were really weird. And what's really difficult with them is trying to swap, because they used to default to Dolby Digital, and you'd have to then try to find the menu to then tell it to play in Dolby True HD or DTS HD. There are lots of these, and it's a really And if you've got a logic,
yeah, you're right, because this did just go right into the movie.
It didn't even go to the menu screen.
So
you then, if you use a universal remote like a Logitech, like we do the Harmony Elite,
right.
There's not really a button on there to then bring up the menu that you need to then change the audio. So whenever I play one of these, I have to go and get the remote from the actual DVD player, and then the 4K player, and then actually change it using that remote because the Logitech doesn't have the button. So yeah, these ones were frustrating. Warner's, well, I don't know what they were doing with this. These ones, they did it for a while too. Not anymore, thank goodness. But yeah. So anyone that does or does have these, check when you put them in that it's in lossless audio, because they used to default to Dolby Digital. Did you check, John? By the way,
I have to say I don't even know now that you're saying that. I didn't change anything, so. I listened to whatever the default find
it
was.
You might find it was in Dolby Digital and it's just upscaled.
Maybe that's why I found it unremarkable. maybe I'll go back and check that
fantastic.
out.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dark Knight does that. The Dark Knight 4K disc does it. The 4K of Superman from 1970. It doesn't default to Atmos.
Yeah.
There's still
I'm not mistaken, Game of Thrones didn't default to something I watched.
Right. Yeah.
I think Game of Thrones does not default to Atmos either. You have to go in and every time you change the disc, you had to set it up again, which was super frustrating.
It would remember from
episode to episode, on the same disc.
Yeah.
But, we did them in like three episode chunks anyway. So we watched one disc and then moved on. But still, every time you start, you have to set that menu up. And it was irritating.
Yep. So, all right. Steve, you don't have anything else on its own, right, Steve?
Avatar.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
My system just did what it did a couple of weeks ago, and it all went black. But I can still hear you. So if it goes dark, I can. Hopefully, you can still hear me, and I can hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
All right, I don't know what that is. That's weird. It didn't do it last week. It did it the week before. Okay, so this is Avatar on Disney Plus. In 4K HDR with Atmos, the original Avatar, not Way of Water. And so it dropped on Disney Plus just over a week or so ago. And it's taken me that time to get enough sittings to be able to finish it all. And now I know, John, this is one of those rare occurrences where we differ on this one.
Yeah.
Because I really like this film. I get why people don't get me wrong, but I really like this movie. And I've been able to experience it with Viewing Buddy and just kind of watch it again and again. I've seen it more times in the last 12 months than I've seen it ever, I think. But this guys, and I mean, you guys are, of course, are all lucky because it came out today, didn't it, there on 4K disc.
Yeah.
We don't get the original Avatar until first week of July. So we get Way of Water next Monday, week yesterday, and then we don't get, it's a couple of weeks before we get the Way of Water. Now, I love this film. I really do, and I unashamedly, unabashedly really like it. And this stream is the first time I've seen it in 4K and in Dolby Atmos, because I haven't had the disc yet, although I'll be getting the disc when it comes out. This stream is fantastic, in my view. And I know, Deej, you've got the better version. Because we were texting about it. Until the disc gets into my sweaty mitts, this is the by far the best this has ever looked and sounded. And it looks and sounds fantastic. And I've seen this movie enough to know it backwards. I know just about every line, every scene, everything in it. And from second one, right from where you get the flying through the jungle and that sort of the kind of choral music, it, as soon as it came on, it went up into the overheads, the room filled with sound. And I just, again, the biggest, dopiest grin just spread across my face, and I was just wow. And then that goes for nearly 3 hours and didn't stop. I noticed effects that I've never known before. Bits where you've got right at the beginning where Jake comes off the transporter and you first see the APC walkers. That walker now comes over the top of the screen. As it comes, it comes from the rear right over the top of the screen and then into the distance. And that I've never heard before. You can hear things in the background. Dialogue that I couldn't hear before is now clear, and you can hear what's being said. It's three-dimensional. It you just the details on the stuff, bearing in mind this movie is 2009. You know, so it's not a new film. The details in the creatures, details on the Na'vi's facial textures and everything else is just ludicrous. And as I was watching it again, viewing buddy, you've seen it a few times, and it was just like, look at that. Look at the oh my God. Look at that. And just all the way through, just geeking out about how good it looked and sounded and putting it back and listening to bits again and going through it again and again. And even saying, look how three dimensional that is. Look, pause that. Look at that. You know, it was fantastic. And all the reviews tell me the disc is even better, you know, way better. So I mean, I can't wait. And it said, I get that people don't like the movie, but for those that do, the stream is fantastic. So roll on the disc.
Oh yeah. You had, when you texted me about it, I put it on. I only at the time we only had the HD on Kaleidoscape. So I watched that, but you had said the Disney stream was fantastic. So I immediately went down to my theater. I wasn't in my theater. So, and I wanted to start with that, like your perception of things when you first come in, you know. So I go down, power up the theater, go down, put on Avatar on Disney Plus. And like you, I was like, holy crap, this looks amazing for a stream. And I started thinking, I'm like, did they do something different here? Did they find a new way to stream? Did they do something? Yeah. And it's like, it looked amazing. It sounded amazing. I watched those scenes that we were talking about. And it's like talking about the opening. And then we went to the scene at, it's like chapter 10 with the, where he's keeping them back with the fire, right?
Yeah.
And so we're watching those scenes and I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, let me check it out on Kaleidoscape and compare it, because I knew I only had the HD. So, I switch over to the Kaleidoscape and I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm like, all right. And now the Kaleidoscape wasn't as crisp. It was good. Like the stream just had a really nice crisp line, and you'd have to be here to see what I'm talking about, but you could see a slight difference in like the lines off, like any edge work looked just crisper on the stream, but the dynamics of both the picture and the sound were so much better. Even in the HD, it's like there was so much, like the colors were just more vibrant when they needed to be. And then especially when they weren't in, like, you know, when they weren't out in the jungle of Pandora, that's super vibrant anyways. Right. Mm-hmm. But when they're at the base, those picture, there was a different, you could really see a difference there in picture. Audio wise, typical streaming. It is compressed. You can hear that it's just not as dynamic. It is very, very good. It is very hard to, well, it's not very hard. I shouldn't say that, but you'd have to go back and forth to hear the difference. But if you're not doing that, the stream is very good. Okay. Avatar, it came out 4K today on Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy cow. It's now, I had like the Kaleidoscape, now it's the super crisp look, plus the vibrancy, and the Atmos track is even it. Now I am not up mixing, you know, like we were before. You're absolutely correct. It is an absolute amazing track. I watched all those scenes over again before for show prep, you know, take one for the team. it is absolutely amazing. So Avatar on streaming, if all you're doing is streaming, stay with that. Because this stuff is getting so good. It is getting so good. We're like 5 years away from it being pretty much to equal to what we have now. And it is such a small incremental step each way. I think, like I said, when I first put it on, I thought they reinvented streaming. It looked that good. But then when you see the physical release, it's just amazing. It is. It really is. So I love what they're doing. This also, I wanted to take a moment. this also gives me a lot of hope for The Abyss. Ton of hope for The Abyss for this year. But they put this much love and care into this. And I think this is a lot of people were nervous because of T2. And to have Avatar come out like this, I don't mind T2. I like T2.
Yeah, me too.
But it's not Avatar. It's not that good.
No.
It's not as good as this. I'll take it. I love T2. Yeah. But if he does anything close to what they've done here with Avatar, with T2, I'm sorry, with The Abyss, it's going to be awesome.
Well, you know, you say that you thought they'd done something different with the stream. Well, the streaming is the same, but of course, the remaster has been AI enhanced, hasn't it? This has been done with a new AI HDR mastering process. So it is something different and something new. Now, I mean, other than it's AI and it's new, that's all I know about it.
Right.
But it is. So they have actually done something different with them. And this is one of the first ones they've done. So hopefully, yeah, they'll do that with The Abyss. But I do get the impression that this particular film, as with The Way of Water, was shot at very high, detail levels anyway, with very specific lenses. And I think this movie lends itself to that extra kind of, look, and the HDR, of course, and all that kind of stuff, because it's all there. But yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, John, it might even be worth a little revisit of some scenes. You know, you haven't got to watch the whole thing, but I would suggest on a 120 inch screen, you know, this will look like you've just stepped into a David Attenborough documentary. Right. You know, there are times on this that this looks, and again, funny enough, DJ, having seen it, I mean, I've got this, I'm a bit like you with Bloodshot on this. I've got the 3D version. Can you still hear me, guys?
Too, yeah.
Yeah, just can you hear me? Right, my screen's gone black again. That's weird the way it does doing that. I've got the 3D one. I've got the normal version. I've got the director's cut of this, and then obviously now the stream, and I'll have buy the 4K disc. And I've seen the 3D one numerous times, including on the big screen in the cinema room. And yet I will take this over that in terms of even the three dimensionality all day long. That opening shot of Jake coming out of the cryo tube. And that shot that goes right down the ship looks just as three-dimensional on this stream that it does on the 3D disc.
Yeah.
But now you get all the detail as well. So, I mean, it really is worth going through. So, yeah, John, I'll be curious to see what you make of it, even if, you know, just watch a few minutes, you know, and just see what you think. I think you'd be probably quite pleasantly surprised. And also with the Atmos audio as well, even if Blue Cats in Space doesn't do it for you, the sheer home theater experience might do it. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I've seen it. I own the Blu-ray. I mean, I've seen it one time. Yeah.
I see. Oh, okay.
Not my favorite though. I just really.
No, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I'd say leave the Blu-ray in the sleeve and just.
Well, I'm not going to
throw on
the
Disney Plus.
I'll watch Disney. Yeah, I'll pull it on Disney Plus and see.
Yeah, because it is fantastic. Disney Plus. So, do you know what? If they carry on like this, they're going to get to the point where they're going to rival Apple TV Plus with some of the stuff they're putting out. Is just mind blowing.
It's getting there. It's getting. I'd say the only difference is Apple TV Plus's stuff is all pretty much original. And they're putting original content at this level, right? Mm. Where they're remastering Disney Plus. And if they get to this level, Mandalorian or any of the series that we have one starting, Ahsoka starting tomorrow? Yeah. I think
isn't it August?
Secret Invasion tomorrow. So that's tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm. I knew something was coming tomorrow. But yeah, so if they can get close to this stuff, I mean, you know, then we're talking. I'm really excited for this. Really excited for all this stuff. So good stuff. Good stuff, Steve. All right. What do we want to do next? I got, let's see. We'll do this one. Let's go to the movies.
I'm curious to see what you guys made of this. The Flash. Yeah,
The Flash. Okay. In theaters now. Now playing in theaters. Now playing. I don't know for how long.
Well, you might have it on Kaleidoscape this time next week, the way it's going.
I pre-bought. Now, here's what's real interesting. I pre-purchased it, and it was one of the most expensive pre-purchases I've had to make in a long time.
How much?
$39.99.
Yeah. Wow.
For a pre-purchase, and I was like, most of them are $24.99 pre-purchase or $29.99, and now this one, I actually hesitated, guys. It's like, ah.
For a nanosecond.
$39.99, to be honest with you.
But, so, but anyways, what did you guys think?
John, tell me. I want to know what you guys think first before I tear
you
it
want
apart.
Me to go I mean, first? Sorry,
I thought it was fine. Like, it wasn't great. First. Yeah, you should have gone first. You know, this, I've mentioned it before on this show. This is one of those movies where I almost wasn't even going to go see it because I had a lot of problems with Ezra Miller and his off-screen behavior to the point where it really soured me on him as an entertainer. And I found him the worst part of this movie, honestly. He was grating. And at one point, he makes fun of himself because I don't think it's a secret that there's two versions of him in the movie. And he even pokes fun at the younger version of himself and how annoying he is. But failed to realize that he is that annoying as the older version of himself, too. I thought Michael Keaton was a bit wasted here, even though it was great to see him back on screen. I thought Sasha Kelly did a great job with what she was given to do, but ultimately it was fun. Like, you know, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. So, I wouldn't pay $40 to own it at home. I will want to see it at home because it's got the sights and the sounds, even though, famously, I guess by now the CGI is a bit questionable and, I don't know, even though the director is saying that was intentional, that might be a little bit of...
a little stylized.
That's backup. What I thought. You know, maybe he's trying to cover his tracks a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. What did you guys think before I go on?
Deej, do you want to jump in?
I don't know which way are you going, because you know how I'm going to come down.
Well, I think I'm going to be in the middle then. I think I'm going to be in the middle, as I literally and figuratively. Right. So full disclosure, I did not see this in theaters. I was fortunate enough to be given a pre-review copy. So it's a screener essentially. But it's only in 1080p and it's only in, it's only two channel. Okay. So I did not watch this in the cinema room. I watched it in my front room on a 46-inch TV. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's fine. It's okay. Because I'm like John, I was not about to necessarily go see this in theaters. Famously, as you guys know, I've got to be something special to get me to go to a commercial cinema because I know I could get these things quite soon. And so I saw it. Now, I liked it. I did like it and I'll definitely buy the 4K disc. As soon as it comes out, I'll get it. This to me is kind of the third DCEU movie, which is, it's okay. You know, I enjoyed it with Black Adam, Shazam, Fury of the Gods in this one. I'd put them all on an exact level, all about the same of, it's okay. I don't know much about DC. You guys are my DC gurus. You know, I know Superman and Batman and the Flash and, you know, obviously the Justice League. And then that's about it. I don't go deep on this stuff. I haven't ever read the comics of these. So I don't have much of a background to it. So I did enjoy it. I agree. I think even on the small screen, the CGI looks ropey. I mean, there's no getting away from that. It does. Although, you know, bearing in mind the opening and, you know, some of the things that he is saving, I'm not sure you'd want that to look too realistic. I think you'd get anxiety. Right. It's still a little bit of anxiety when, you know, something goes in a microwave, but still, you know, there's a little bit of not comfortable with that. Right. There was some fun to be had. Keaton, again, you know, it's no secret that he's in it. And it is good seeing him in the bat suit. It is good seeing him kind of, you know, utter those immortal lines of I'm Batman and, you know, let's get nuts, which is quite cool. And the other cameos, which we won't spoil, but everybody knows there are cameos in this, were fun. And there's some, and of course, as Kevin Smith fans, there is some fun to be had there as well. So it's fan service and it doesn't really mean anything, but it's nice to see and it's okay. And I think on the basis of one and done, I'm okay with it. I agree. I think as well with Ezra Miller. I mean, he is irritating at times in this. And I think certainly if you're not an Ezra Miller fan, double Ezra Miller is only going to upset you even more as you found, John. So he's okay. And oh, by the way, I thought that the stuff at the end Again, no spoilers, but resolution with the character that he is trying to save. I, as someone, of course, who you know, went through something a couple of years ago. I'm choosing my words carefully. Right. There was some emotion there.
Sure.
Yeah, there was. And I think that will resonate with a lot of people who over the last few years have been through something similar. And I think that that will resonate. And it did with me more than the rest of the movie did, really. And so I'd put it on the same level as Black Adam and Shazam, you know, Fury of the Gods. They're okay. And they're blinking, they're gone, because that's the end of it. There's, you know, everything's going to be different from now on. And so if this is how the DCEU ends, I haven't got a problem with that. I think it certainly could have been worse, but it could have been better. So I reckon I'm in the middle. Go on, Deej, tell us why it's the greatest movie ever.
I never said that.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, it's not the greatest movie ever. I don't absolutely love it. But I thought it was very well done for what it is. And, both John and I know the comic it's based off of, Flashpoint.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you read that, Steve?
No. I've just heard of the name.
Which is really only loosely, very, very loosely based on Flashpoint.
And that's what I said online. Yeah. I said it on Twitter. I said, this is nothing like Flashpoint, as a matter of fact.
He goes back in time. To save his mom. That's it.
But I've seen a lot of stuff on social media being like, this is horrible remake of Flashpoint. And I'm like, if you know anything about Flashpoint, this is dead on, because it's multiverses. This is just one version of Flashpoint. You don't have to. That's the beauty of making a movie about Flashpoint. You don't have to nail it. All you got to do is anything. And you'd be like, it's just a different universe. So you have that out. So you could say whatever you want. And that's what I'm like, if you truly cared about Flashpoint, you would get that. And that was the idea in this movie. And they're showing you, I mean, I thought they did a great job in melding everything together, so that everything going forward, you can always have that in the back of your mind, whether it's, you know, Matt Reeves Batman or Christopher Nolan's Batman, or it's, you know, we go Michael Keaton or any other Batman or any other superheroes in DC universe. They're all there, including new ones. So I really liked it. I thought it's a fun way to push things forward for DC. Ezra Miller, I thought you were going to reference the other part. I don't have a problem with Ezra Miller. He has issues. He has mental issues, and those are real. He's dealing with them, and they put that in the movie, and I thought it was hysterical, and I thought it was a great way for him to be like, it's early on in the movie, and he says, talking about the Justice League, and talking about, like, they...
By the way, I don't want you to get canceled, DJ, but it's them, not he.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, you know...
So thanks for bringing it up. I don't know.
Well,
he'd have to cancel me, so I'm not too worried about it.
They...
But anyways, so...
I'm just putting it out there in case somebody sends you an email.
Why?
Because that's how they want to be referred to. That's why.
Okay. I mean, I'm not paying attention to that. I don't know. But what I'm saying is they put...
Welcome to the pronoun game, fellas.
Yeah exactly. Anyways, he made a joke about it. He said something about the Justice League not being very good with mental health or something like that. And it's very early on in the movie. And I thought it was hysterical. So they address that stuff. But all of the characters, everything about the movie, I thought it was just fun. It's a comic book movie, and it pushes DC forward in a way that I think is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of good cameos in here and a lot of stuff that we'll be able to reference in the future. And then the home theater side of it is going to be a blast. Absolute blast. Like you guys, everybody said, you know, and it's... I didn't have a problem with the CGI. It wasn't exactly, I thought it was just stylized, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I'll probably go with you there. But I think they were trying to do something, and I don't want to get into spoilers. They changed a couple of things that I thought were weird, but kind of cool. Especially dealing with the Speed Force. But I it's just a fun movie. It's comic books. Worst things can happen, you know? So,
well, we're all getting the disc. So, you know, in that respect, it succeeded, hasn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I will see it, you know, definitely another couple of times at the very least. It is what it is, you know. And again, I think it's the end of an era. James Gunn's not going to be going anywhere near this. And if he was tempted to before, after the weekend's box office, he's not now.
Yeah.
So what was they'll be going that way. It was less than 60 million.
Yeah.
And that was the, that was a low ball. It was like 57 million, which it was way
it won't
lower
even
than
do
they
what
predict.
Black Adam did is what they're saying, which is low.
Yeah. For the same cost.
And for the budget of this. Yeah. This was like $300 million or something crazy like that.
So they're gonna James Gunn, whatever speedy direction the Flash was going in, James Gunn is speeding in the other direction.
Right.
Yeah.
I suspect Warner's wish they could go back in time.
I read an article yesterday that said the likelihood of a sequel depends on the box office success of this movie. Isn't that always the case with is that like news to anybody? The sequel always dependent on how the first movie does?
A journalist somewhere had some copy to write.
Right.
Fill some space.
Really? It's like, tell me more about this fancy concept of.
Tell me more about whether the Pope is Catholic and whether the bears go, you know, defecate in the woods.
This thing was so, that's why I had it as like my most anticipated movie of the year. And it wasn't because I thought I was going to love it. I had no idea. This movie has been so delayed. It's had so many issues, you know, Ezra Miller being one of them, you know, being like, they delayed it for that.
Well, there was question at one point of whether it would even come out.
Exactly. You know, right. So. And that's why I do love the Flashpoint story, and I wanted to see what they could do with it.
I get the impression that this hues as close to the Flashpoint story as Civil War did to the comics. Exactly. You know, Marvel's. You know, it's just a jumping off point. It's not. Right. It's not meant to be. You know, a retelling of the comics in any way, shape, or form. But I've never read Flashpoint, so I don't know. Civil War, I had read.
It's not even close. There's very. Nothing. Can you think of anything, John, that's like
other than the core principle of him going back in time to save his mother? That is what Flashpoint is about. But everything that happens in the comic is completely different from what happens here, to the point where you have Thomas Wayne. You've got, you know, Atlantis
in the book,
Amazons at war with each other. You know, I mean, the book has got all kinds of stuff that just didn't happen.
I actually thought that this got a little more confusing than the book, because they actually introduced, and I don't want to get into spoilers, but they introduced more stuff than I thought. I've read it a few times. I read it in the comics, but then I also have the large Ultimate Edition that is just gorgeous. But it's completely different. Completely different. So, all right. Let's see. All right. Let's get to, we'll wind up. What do we, all we have left are these last two, right?
Mm-hmm. But they're good ones.
Yeah, they are. all right. Let's go with this. On Netflix, dropped on Friday, Extraction 2. And I was really, really looking forward to this. And I'll start. I was thoroughly disappointed in the audio in this. It was awful. Mm. Absolutely awful. I had to get up and check and see if my subwoofers were on. And this is why the one that I love the movie. It had some really good Atmos effects. It had great pans. It had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the sound, what I did get out of it. But I felt like the entire time, this thing wasn't like it's almost like my subs were off and I was watching this movie through just my speakers. Like if you've ever disconnected your speakers and watched any movie and you're like, you still get decent bass, but you're not getting that low. And I got none of it. And then that's why I ended up, I was talking earlier about John Wick. And I was like, let me go back into it. And so I put on John Wick directly after this. And I was like, I started it and it's like, there's a, where is it? I got a time stamp here somewhere. Anyways, I'll come up with it when you guys are talking, but there's a time stamp. The bass in John Wick is amazing. It's awesome. Mm. And I just wanted to redeem my system. I'm like, make sure it wasn't me and, or the, like maybe something was wrong and it wasn't. And I even went back to it later to see it at a different time. Like maybe it was the stream or something. And it's just, it's flat. It doesn't have that bass in it. So what did you, we could talk about the movie too, but what'd you guys think?
John, do you want to go next?
I mean, I didn't find that, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, again, my system and setup is a little different than yours, but, I mean, I felt like it had some bass moments. I thought the surround sound, I thought the use of the rear channels was fantastic in this movie. I mean, there was so much gunfire and voices and especially in the, no spoilers, but in the prison scene. I mean, my surrounds were all working overtime. Like I had stuff coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's not John Wick, like you said, but right. I didn't feel at any point like I was missing bass or, that it was lacking. I thought visually, I thought it looked great. The HDR looked excellent. I mean, I thought it wasn't quite as good as the first one, if we're talking about
the movie itself. Yeah.
Although I did also thoroughly enjoy it. Like, I really thought it was great. I love the fact that it seems like this is being set up to be a franchise for him.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like there's an Extraction 3 coming based on the way this movie wraps up. Yep. But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was good. I didn't feel like I was missing anything. I thought the use of the surround channels was fantastic in this movie, and it was very fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. So,
So for me, then, for the film, Extraction, as I said, I think last week might have been the week before. Extraction is my most watched movie on Netflix. In terms of most often, I've really? Seen Extraction 5 times on Netflix.
Wow.
I just really like that movie. It's great. Next to that's Army of the Dead, which won't surprise you at all.
Right.
But Extraction has been my most one, more than Six Underground, all of those. So I was really looking forward to the second one as well. And I watched it Friday night. I made time to watch it. You know, it was like, this is going to be great. In terms of the movie, I agree. It's not quite as good. Again, can you hear me, guys? My system's gone off again.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So again, not quite as good as the first one. I think at times it's video gamey. You know, it's like, you know, take out the next level, get the next helicopter.
Wow. And,
you know,
did you? Let me jump in here. At what the hell? It's like 28 minute mark. Did you pick up on that? It's like from the 28 minute mark till the 47. I think so. Almost 20 minutes. It's supposed to be one shot. It's a one shot thing.
Yeah, which it's not.
Just like 1917. They mask it with their pans into smoke and stuff like that. But it's that one shot, and it's very video gamey where they have the shot over. And we're going to talk more about that too when we get to John Wick 4. But there's shots of, like, you can hear the other characters in the headsets, right? But you hear them at the back of the room, like John was saying, super active Atmos track, using the full room. But it did, and that's what made it feel very video gamey. And it's like, I mean, it really was. But that one long shot I thought was awesome. I thought that was so much fun, because you're like, it brings another level of immersion, because now you're looking for where they can be cutting. You're looking for everything. And it's like, I mean, it's super over the top too. you know, yeah. much like, you know, Fast and the Furious or something, but a lot of fun. I thought this one was more over the top than the first one.
Oh yeah, this is pushing it to another level. But there's a lengthy, you know, so-called one shot in the first one. There's a car chase which goes into a fist fight, which then goes into a thing, and that's about 12 minutes, I think, is that one, which ends with them getting hit with a truck. But it felt video gamey because he was almost literally going to different levels. The helicopter bit on the train genuinely felt like, take out that helicopter, you know. And if you played enough video games, that's exactly kind of how it goes.
Right.
So it was video gamey, but I did enjoy it, and I thought it was good, but not quite to the level of the first. But I did like it. Now, in terms of the home theater side of it, video wise, I we're all in lockstep. I think we all saw the same thing and got the same levels of detail and everything else. So that was great. Audio wise, I'm in the middle again between you guys because, I thought at the start, there is a sequence on a train, which culminates with, you know, with helicopters and various things. It's not a spoiler. It's in the trailers. And I thought that the bass was lacking in that. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not quite getting this. There was a little, as that sequence ends, there is a everyone's favorite, with me anyway, is that there is a Gatling gun used or something similar. And there was a little bit more bass in that. And I was thinking, oh, okay, all right, maybe, you know, this is deliberate. They're trying to ramp this up as they go. But yes, I was thinking, I'm not getting the punch here that I normally get. And yet, as it went on, I felt the bass levels got better because there's then another helicopter scene, which is very reminiscent of The Matrix, actually, in terms of that. And that actually had some punch to it, I thought. And I felt that the first time I watched it. And then the next day I watched that scene again because I watched it quite late at night. And so the next day I watched that again at my normal listening. So a little bit more than I normally would. And that actually had some punch to it. You're not talking John Wick 4, not talking Lucy or anything like that.
No.
But there was some heft to the bass. It felt like big guns being used and, you know, and it was moving around. So I did get some decent bass at times. But also other times I didn't. I'm in the middle. You know, I wouldn't say there was no bass and I wouldn't say there was really, really good bass. It was just kind of in the middle and it was, you know, okay for what it was. The surround channels thing, I noticed a couple of things, which was quite fun. It was very discreet at times. There are a couple of sequences I noticed where, I mean, as you guys know, but those listening might not, but I've got a 7.2.2 Atmos system. So what I noticed a couple of times, which I don't normally, is that the rear left and rear right, not the side surrounds, the rear left and right, there were sequences that played out entirely in those two speakers. So there were sound effects moving, bouncing between those two that I could localize that I don't normally. And that was very cool. I'm like, oh wow, I know exactly where that is and I can place that. And that was quite different for me. I thought that was quite clever. And I noticed that even as I was watching it for the first time. They're having some fun with placement of the sound field in this. I did think it was good. But not to the level of the first one. And I'm sure again, I tweeted out as soon as I'd finished this, what I wouldn't give to have both of these on physical 4K disc. I would absolutely love to be able to have those because I think they'd be very special.
Absolutely.
But I will watch this again and again. I mean, funny enough, a friend of mine wants to see one again and then hasn't seen two. So I'm like, right, well, come around and we'll watch it properly. So yeah, I'll be doing it again for sure. And that'll be one and two probably in the same night.
Yeah. Nice. If we could get the bass that you're getting in Avatar or get it that you're getting in any of the other streams, there's some other, I mean, even Tomorrow War. Tomorrow War's bass was fantastic on the stream, right? Even Six Underground had really nice bass, where you're getting some tactile, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, like, can I hear it? I'm talking about the stuff that you can feel, the stuff that you'd be like, all right, I got a rumble in my seat or something. And there was, like, next to nothing. So it was almost like below 80 hertz. It was like, my speakers were doing it, which can still give you a good bass. I mean, it still was a fun experience, but it just felt like my subs weren't active. They weren't doing anything. And I'm crossing over at 100. So they're doing, my subs are doing everything from 100 down, which is fine because it's still going to, if it's only giving you 80, then my subs are giving me the 80. But it, you know what I mean? It just was. And then when you go to, like I said, I went to John Wick and I made a joke. If you want to get, if you want to get the joke, go to 1948 of John Wick. There's more bass in that scene, in that at 1948. There's more bass in that. And then, and trust me, you'll get the joke because it's, anybody wants to email me or DM me what happens at 1948 where you can hear the bass. And that's what real bass is about in right there in the dynamics of what bass can be. And it's a pretty funny scene in the original John Wick. So.
If you want to just rearrange your room, just listen to the first 5 minutes of John Wick 4.
I know. It's, yeah. Or the room above you.
Yeah, yes.
Oh.
Anyway, so, next week.
Yep. We'll talk about that one next week. So, all right. John Wick 4, that is. All right, boys. I guess that this should be a show title, no?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. Here we go. Steve's the one that brought it up, so we'll bring up his image first. There we go. What are we talking about, Steve?
Wind River. The 2017, I think it was 2018, maybe
2018. I think,
yeah. Jeremy Renner. Right now, I can never remember her name. What's her name?
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen. Do you know what? I've had a conversation this week about this with someone else, and I couldn't remember her name then either. So Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye. Not a spin-off. Just so we're clear.
He is pretty much Hawkeye in this one, too.
Well, he never misses.
That no.
<is true. laughs> So this is a, we've talked about it a number of times on the show. So it's a movie. It's a drama, I think I would call it. I'm not sure I'd call it an action movie, although there are action sequences in it. And it's in the mold, in my view, of Hell or High Water, and done by the same people. Taylor Sheridan, I think, directed it. Yeah. And it's of a piece. It's a meditation on grief. It's a meditation on loss, and a drama about, a young girl who is ostensibly killed. And it becomes a little bit of a whodunit and a detective story as well. All wrapped up in a story that unravels, as it goes. And it's a movie that I really, really like. I never saw it when it came out, never heard of it up until about 6 months ago when somebody on Twitter said, oh, I'm going to rewatch this movie. And they're like, it's great. And so I bought it very cheaply because it's an older film and watched it and was blown away. And just was like, wow, this was great. And I've been bending your ears about it ever since, guys.
Yep.
Cause I just, you know, everyone needs to see it. And so it's a great movie. And I rewatched it this week for only the second time, knowing that we were going to be watching it again after you guys bought it last week. And so the home theater side of it is for a so-called quiet movie, you know, or a drama, shall we say, at times, I think it's excellent. At times, for a 1080p, 5.1 DTS HD, you know, Neuralex upmixed track, at times it's very nice. There is a score that has voices in it, which nicely kind of move around the room. There is some gunplay in this, and when the guns go off, again, I know I say it a lot. These really do sound like cannons. You know, it sounds like something's been fired from a ship. Not from a, you know, not from, you know, a shotgun or a handgun. And that has real heft to it. So I think it's really, really well done and some excellent stuff in this. Picture wise, it's okay. It is a drama. It's not meant to have stunning visuals to it. It's what you'd call shot with a quiet lens. You know, this isn't supposed to be beautiful scenery or anything else. This is all about drab, unattractive landscapes, I suppose, until perhaps the very end. I thought it was great, and I'm very curious to see what you guys think of it. And I was tempted to text you both when I knew that you'd seen it, but I thought I've been digging nails into my thighs waiting so that I wouldn't text and just find out live. So, and I've already given it away because I had to ask Deej earlier. So I know what he thinks of it. Yeah, I couldn't help it. So John, tell me what you think, because I know what Deej thinks.
Now, first of all, I'm going to be honest. there's not a high bar for me because I'll watch Elizabeth Olsen wash the dishes.
Judge told you not to do that. Yeah, I think that's what the restraining order said.
Yeah, it wasn't going to take a lot for me to enjoy this movie. But no, you're right. I really did like it. I thought the story was great. I thought the messaging was disturbing, but also, necessary to some degree, because I think a lot of people don't know the circumstances of what happens in this movie. I watched another a TV show recently. It was called Alaska Daily, and it had similar themes to this movie. So I think, without giving too much away, I thought that was pretty good. Now, as far as the visuals go, I thought some of the scenes of just the mountains and the snow, I thought were pretty stark with the white. I thought sometimes the visuals were pretty good. And then especially towards the end, which I think the scene you're talking about up on the mountains, it looked excellent. But I thought some of the visuals here were really good. I guess anytime you get that just stark white, it can look pretty good. But I really liked it. I thank you for recommending it. I was always going to watch it once I found out who was in it, but took me a bit to get around to it.
What did you make of the audio, John?
I thought, some of the scenes with like the skis, the snow skis and things like that, I thought sounded pretty good. There is some gunfire. There's some gunplay that happens towards the end of the movie that I thought had punch, and I thought it sounded pretty good. Especially like, I guess without giving things away, the first shot fired, I thought it had a bit of punch to it. I thought, again, for a Blu-ray disc that didn't have Dolby Atmos or anything, we all upmix, so we get pseudo Dolby Atmos anyways. But I thought it was decent. Again, it's not John Wick or Lucy, but I thought it was decent.
Good.
All right. I forgot to put John's picture up that whole time.
Yeah, my picture. Again, for another rolling menu that I couldn't get.
Mine was just static. I didn't get
yours was, clever. Yeah. I was surprised. Yeah. I didn't get that. That's the British release, I guess.
Yeah.
UK release.
It's weird, isn't it? Why do they – it's so strange that they take time to do that. Yeah.
I know.
Very strange. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's weird. There's mine. And you can look at all the other tiles if you'd like. Yeah, on right. Kaleidoscape, same thing. 1080p, DTS Master Audio. Just to build off of what John was saying about the audio, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it, most of this movie was meant to be quiet, dialogue-y, talky. It's a bit talky, but it's supposed to be. It's a drama. Right. It does open up with some really nice punch with some gunshots in the opening scene that, literally will make you jump deep. You could tell what kind of gun he's using. It's got really, really good punch, comes up again later. And like you said, with the walking in the, whether the quiet scenes, walking in the woods, you can hear the snow. You can hear it under their footsteps. You can hear it under the, snowmobiles, that the sounds, that the way, and Steve and I mentioned this before we started recording, it is kind of tough, after what happened with Jeremy Renner, but you see how proficient he is on one of these things, the way he's riding those and the way you drop a knee, just like on a motorcycle and stuff. He's dropping a knee. He's doing a lot of stuff, flying. They make a little joke about it in the movie as well. But as home theater wise, I thought the picture was great representation, I should say, of what kind of movie it was. Like, it was very drab, but then they get outside and, you get a feel of, it felt cold, and the bright whites and seeing the landscape, the way it was. There was one shot that I said, I watched this one with my wife, and there was one shot that I was like, I felt like maybe that one was done later. And it was a shot of Jeremy Renner and you're looking up at him and the blue sky on him was way too blue compared to when they went with the long shot again. And it looked like they were like, we need this shot. Let's do it here in a studio. And they, you know, green screened it or something. And it just felt so out of place because I felt like you said, Steve, and like it was a little drab and a little because of the source, the material we're talking about here, what the story's about. Mm-hmm. So that felt a little out of place. There is a little bit of a continuity error that I caught, and it was really funny. It's at 11 minutes and 50 seconds, and they had just stopped and they're out in the snow he's got gloves on and he's pulling out a gun. And it's like at 11:50, gloves, no gloves, check it out. You can't, and it's like, he takes his gloves off and then they come back to it. They're in a close up of him and you see him take his gloves off below camera. Right. Hmm. But maybe he didn't, I don't know. They go to a long shot. And he's got his gloves on. They come back in. He's got his gloves off. They go to the long shot. His gloves are back on. Like, and it flips back and forth. And like, I picked it up. I snapped back quick. And I showed my wife. I go, did you see that? And she's like, what? And I was like, check that out. And she goes, oh, nice catch. Look at that. I was like, it's pretty funny.
What did Jen make of the movie, Deej?
She really liked
quite within her wheelhouse. I mean, there's some talk about counseling and grief and all that kind of stuff. So she must come at this at a different, from a different kind of perspective to us.
I thought about the movie itself with that is I think we all have a unique perspective on that. And that's what I thought was great about the movie is because we're talking about, you know, Native Americans, we're talking about white people, if you want, you know, us. And then you're also talking about the men, women, how they handle things, how different races handle situations and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And they expose a lot of that stuff in this. And even my wife and I were talking for a little bit about it after the fact and being like, you know, like that. I don't want to give anything away. There's like, but you guys know the scene when Elizabeth Olsen goes into a room and like, whoa, and walks out of the room. Right. And my wife was like, what do you do? Like, why, you know, my wife was like, why is she leaving? And I'm like, it's not your culture. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know what I mean? What was really interesting about, and then the scenes of men grieving. And dealing with the situation at different points of the movie. Like there's one later on, but towards the end of the movie where you're like, you know that you've been through this movie, but they even made a little bit of a joke about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then like, he's like, oh, where'd you come up with that? I just made it up. Like, I didn't know I had one. You guys know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. But I thought it was really interesting. And it just like you guys said, very heartfelt. And you see a perspective that I think anybody watching this movie is going to get a perspective they never thought of before. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, for me, I think this is Renner's best role of stuff that I've seen him in. I think it's better than The Hurt Locker. I think it's better than you know, many of the dramas that he's been in. I think this is fantastic.
Come on, the Town,
which are,
The Town, boy, right?
That he was in? Town. Yeah, with Affleck. Yeah, he's really good. And his
Boston accent. This, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's not as good as this.
the monologue that he delivers to the Native American chap about the death of his daughter. That to me was Oscar worthy. I think that
it was amazing.
I mean, I tweeted it out just as it was. I think that's absolutely incredible. It's incredible writing, but it's delivered in such a clever way. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. Well, I'm so glad again that you guys really liked it. And that it's a movie that, again, cause I think it's a film that passed most of us by. Three of us, we're movie geeks. We keep track.
I'd heard of it only because of Marvel, and I'd heard that they were in the movie together. So like when you mentioned, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when I saw the pictures of it, I've seen it in my past. I just passed over it. of course. Mm. But I didn't know of it only because of Marvel, and that they were in this together at the same time as, I think it came out the same year as what, Infinity War, John? 2018, I think.
I thought it was 17 or 18.
Yeah. So it would have been Civil War.
But yeah, they definitely were. They definitely knew each other, obviously, before this movie. Mm. But that's how it was in my consciousness. But I had never, you know, even started it. But you know, it was a great one to bring up, Steve. Awesome movie.
No, I'm glad. I'm really glad you liked it. I mean, it would be worth, if you guys haven't revisited it for a while, it would be worth watching Hell or High Water in 4K as well. Mm. Cause I've got the 4K of that. And that, you know, that goes, I mean, that's slightly more action orientated than this, but it's got some really good stuff in it. And that, of course, is just down the road from you, isn't it, John? Somewhere in Texas anyway.
Yeah. I watched it recently, in Spain. But I streamed it. So, I don't have the disc, but I watched it after you talked about it.
It's really good. Yeah. And that's another one. I mean, I'm going to rewatch that soon. Funnily enough, again, just as a very quick aside, I replaced my, I had a region A version of region ones well no region a version of No Country for Old Men. Mm, and yeah. For me to play that, I have to play it on my PlayStation 4 because that's region, it's American, so I can play those. But I've just replaced it with the English version, which, you know, they haven't dubbed the accents, don't worry, so that I can watch this on my 4K player and then watch it on the big screen properly, because the PlayStation 4 started to show its age. So I'm going to rewatch that as well. So in terms of kind of Texas kind of crime movies, that's going to be another one I'm going to I love that film. Yeah. I love that movie.
But so, this Wind River, though, to be honest, it's one of those, this is a like definition of why you watch a drama in a home theater like this, because it's those quieter moments that are now heightened because you're in your theater and you're getting those louder gunshots. You're getting the score is playing louder. There were a couple of incidents where my wife was like, because of the way the score was elevated, and you could feel it in your room. Something was coming, and you're like, and she, you don't get that in your living room on your TV speakers, right? You just, you get the, and it's a great movie for that. Don't get me wrong, but anybody listening to us right now or ever, that's not what we're here for. And it's like, but this is, it's a great drama to be experienced in your home theater. And I think it heightens everything. So.
Yeah. Well, also that, you know, we talked about the gunfire. It's so loud, so impactful that you actually feel the threat of this stuff, you know, and when characters mistrust one another, and they then, you know, they're all armed to the teeth. That you feel that anxiety. It's like, oh my God, what is going to happen?
That scene.
So it's a really well done movie. And the home theater, you engage with this movie more than I think you would. Yeah. Again, watching it on a small screen across the room, you know, or TV speakers, whatever it might be, you know, in a theater room or on a big screen like John has with the surround as well, you engage with this movie, which is what it needs. Cause if this movie's weaves its spell, you're there for the whole thing and just transport it. It's great. It's a really, really good movie. So I mean, you guys are thanking me, but I'm thanking the guy that recommended it to me on Twitter 6 months or so ago. And cause I'd never even heard of it. Didn't know it from anything else. Yeah. And it's
great.
It's always nice when you have a blind buy that turns into a really, really good film. So that's great. So excellent.
Excellent.
Well, we better get moving, guys. Looking at the time.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes.
All right. Let's what do we got coming up next? We've got to get to our 4K releases.
Oh, and
we've got a bunch of, I think we got like 12. So let's get to it. All right. Coming up. All right. Let's see. We've got Creepshow coming June 27th. These are all coming out Tuesday, June 27th. 4K releases. Creepshow from 1982. Next up, we have Vacation. And there are actually, I didn't put them all in this week. I didn't have the time. Sorry about that. Because I know people have sent in comments that they're really enjoying the 4K releases section and everything. But there's multiple Vacation versions coming out, some steelbook. I just didn't, like I said, I didn't have time to actually add them all into the to the pictures. So we have Vacation coming, Evil Dead Rise from this year.
Oh, yes.
And that's Vacation is, that's the 1983 Vacation is getting a 4K release. So, so, but we have Evil Dead Rise coming from this year. So, you know, Steve's probably really excited for that one.
Oh, it was great when I saw it first time around. So I can't wait to see it in 4K and HDR. Oh, yeah. Although Todd was not very keen on it and he saw it on Kaleidoscape. So, that slightly worries me in terms of the quality of the disc.
So I'm a bit. He didn't like the quality or he just didn't like the movie?
I don't think he particularly liked the film, but he wasn't exactly effusive in his praise of the movie either, of the, you know, the, of the transfer. So that worries me because this should look amazing. So I'm a little bit worried now.
It's funny because I do really enjoy home theater experiences, but horror movies to me, and this one here, Steve, you have me so close to actually clicking on it. Just because of like what you were saying about just the experience of the movie. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be great at home. But then Todd, I'm like, no, I know.
Me too.
Like, you know, that's too bad. I mean, because if I'm not getting the home theater experience out of it, I'm really upset.
I mean, I'm buying it, whatever, because I really enjoyed it. So I'll get it and give it a go in mine and see, and then I'll let you know what I think of it. But I'm hoping it's going to be amazing. Because I really, really did enjoy it. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
And John, one of your favorites.
Ah, yes.
Mallrats.
Does it need 4K?
Does it need 4K? That's what I was going to say. But it does.
I'm still going to pick it up.
Yeah. It's a great movie, and I've got the Blu-ray of it. I think I might pick up the 4K. We're going to swap around on this, John. If you're going to buy it on release day, I'll buy it when it comes down in price.
Well, I'm not. I just. Too. I don't.
It's
know
a great movie.
Right away.
Yeah, but I can't imagine it's going to be any different because of how it was shot. It's shot in a down and dirty way. So I mean, you know, but it's a great film. So you know,
speaking of that, quickly, I know we're going back here to Wind River. But did you notice the camera? It was like Steadicam, It was like a hand camera, like the whole time. Jen noticed it too. And I thought that added an element too, especially on the big screen in your theaters and watching this. It's like everything's like shaking just the way they were trying to like film each character, each person, I should say. But I thought that was really cool.
Just it's trying to bring you into the scene. It's to make it look more, less stagey and more realistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be subliminal. You're not really supposed to notice it particularly, but I think that's what that's all about. This is not a movie. This is real life and anything can happen.
But once you notice it and you start looking at the edges of your screen and everything's going, it's pretty cool. And then you just get right back into it because you're so like your eyes are so situated on the characters or on the on the people on the screen. So all right, let's keep this moving. Waterworld in 4K. I've heard some good things about this too.
Yeah, the only problem is, just so everybody is aware, the
it's still Waterworld.
I like Waterworld. I do too.
Yeah, yeah. I have it on Laserdisc all the way up.
I mean, I've had it on everything but Laserdisc. But I've got the Arrow Blu-ray of this because the 4K is only of the theatrical cut. So the director's cut and it's a significant and substantial director's cut and is better, is only on the Blu-ray, not in the 4K disc. So I was ready to get this, but I don't want the theatrical version. I want the director's cut. So I'm going to probably stick with my Blu-ray until this really drops. Because the Blu-ray is no slouch. It looks really, really good. But this does have an Atmos mix. So, you know, but I'm not, I want the director's cut. You're talking 40 minutes extra that was cut from the theatrical version.
But I don't know if you'll ever get that because I don't know if they'll give that like that. I think because this was done by Arrow. So Arrow can give them the theatrical cut, but I think the directors have to okay their cut to these boutique, you know,
Did Arrow did the Blu-ray. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not, I'd have to check to be 100% sure, but I think it was an Arrow release and that was the director's cut and it had the theatrical on another Blu-ray as well. So you had all three, there are three cuts. There is the theatrical, there's the television cut, and then there's the director's cut. and all of those are on the Blu-ray. But this version only has the theatrical version in 4K and the other and Atmos, and the other two are the normal Blu-ray. People just need to be aware of that, because people will go and put their money down thinking, well, it's going to be all singing, all dancing.
Right.
It's not. So it's just a public service announcement.
Singing and dancing. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole new version. Yeah. If George Lucas had his chance. I know how
There's
much
a
you
whole
love Jabba's
other
Palace
cantina
and the special
I didn't even
edition.
See.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's from 1995. Wow.
No.
Jeez. So. All right. Next, Motel Hell. Steve, would you like to tell us about
this? I've seen this movie.
Have you?
I haven't. I haven't seen it. So there you go.
Okay, John, would you like to tell us? Yeah. This is from 1980.
I don't remember it. I probably saw it in 1980 when it was running on HBO. But yeah. I have seen it. I don't know that it needs a 4K. I can't tell you anything about it. I don't really remember it. But I do know I saw it more than once. The biggest reason why I remember is the advertising, because you got the lighted sign that said Motel Hello.
Yep.
And then it just kept flickering off to be Motel Hell. That's all I remember about it. So
they end up making the comic book, right?
If that sells it for you, then go ahead and buy it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think I'll be picking it up though.
In 4K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cold Eyes of Fear with, I think, Pat Benatar. I don't know. It looks like her, but that's 1971. I don't know if she was that old then.
No, it's not Pat Benatar.
Doesn't it look like her, though?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to read underneath because it tells you starring Giovanni Fernando.
Yeah, new 4K HDR restoration of Enzo G. Castellari's 1971 Giallo. Yeah, scored by Ennio Morricone. So okay,
yeah.
What it says
Italian,
on there?
Yeah, it's Italian. Yeah, film, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Marconi.
You should love it, John.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, giallo is Italian for yellow.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, getting into more of our genre area, Mission Impossible 1, the first one coming out.
Steelbook.
Mm. Yep, it's already out. And then Mission Impossible 2, also Steelbook coming. Geez, I wonder why.
You talk about movies with continuity errors, Deej. That one's always famous for the bike thing at the end, where the bike, there's close up of the bike tires and they keep changing between road and off road tires.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're really close, they're right close in. Yeah. Just like, it's blatant.
Yeah. Speaking of bikes, that was one of my first introductions to continuity and stuff. And my dad introduced me to it when I was a kid and we were watching, I think it was Chips, and it was a beach scene. And they took off on the beach on their motorcycles, and you hear, and they take off down the beach, and my dad goes, what's squealing?
It's causing the squeal.
Yeah, right. Sand, right?
And I was like, I'm like 10 years old going, oh my God. And ever since then, I'm like, Dad, what's in this one? And so the two of us would just sit there, and he probably made stuff up that for me, because it was just, I was just fascinated by, like, you know, movie making. And well, where did the sound come from, Dad? And he's like, they put it in after they want it, you know, all that fun stuff. But yeah. Oh, well. All right. This one here. What are we doing? It's like, it's the, what, the, this is
Universal
the
Universal Essentials Collection.
30th Anniversary Essentials Collection type. Yeah. What is this? I had no idea, like, what's going on here. Why Jurassic? We're talking about Jurassic Park, the original. It's getting a new release, and I don't know if there's any kind of additional anything to it.
It's just another bite at the apple, I think, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
I was hoping there was something to, like, it. It hasn't pretty much everybody already bought it?
Yeah. I do like the cover art, though.
I do, too.
I think it's very clear what the difference is. They've recast the Richard Attenborough part, and now it's Colonel Sanders. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's all good. Finger-licking dinosaurs. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
JFC.
On. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's in DTSX. You know, just like the original, just like the other 4K version. I haven't been able to see any kind of
probably identical
press.
It's just a 35th anniversary or whatever it is.
30th. Came out in 93. So yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, I find that interesting. So we'll see. This one is Dead and Buried. Steve?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. 1981,
Dead and Buried.
Yeah, it's been out here for a little while in 4K, and I haven't got around to picking it up. I need to.
Oh, okay.
It's an interesting film, apparently. So, yeah, I don't know much about it, other than that apparently it's very good. So, yeah, I'm going to get this at some point.
All right. And last, we have 1971, Daughters of Darkness.
Search Me. Not a clue. Not a clue. That's a really weird cover as well, isn't it?
Isn't it? It looks like, it kind of looks like everything online now where people are using filters, right? It's like everything's like the porcelain doll look. Apparently that's what you go with.
It is weird. It is weird.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Which version of Batman is that up in the top?
I know.
Batgirl. It's Batgirl, I think. That's
in, yeah, exactly.
In the, it's a scrapped Batgirl movie. That's what it is.
Yep. There you go. So that'll do it for 4K releases for June 27th. Let's
for the show.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, we've got 3 minutes to go to our 2 hour mark, but yeah, cause we started a little late. Let's see. Let's bang these out. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. Little as a dollar, as much as you'd like. Monthly donation would be greatly appreciated. You can go to the website and you can buy us a box of popcorn, which Joe has done. Other people have done. We've got quite a bit this month so far. So really appreciate that. Any monetary donations are greatly appreciated. Obviously, if you're watching us on Twitter, now you can follow us on YouTube too. Get us to that 1,000 subscriber mark. We're slowly ticking away at that. So appreciate that. Anybody get us up to there. And lastly, you can follow us all on Twitter. I am at BrightsideHT. John?
At John Circoni.
That's C-I-R-C-O-N-E. Oh, yeah. And Steve?
I'm on at LegalBeagleOK.
Yeah. And we have on Twitter now, I don't have a graphic for it, but we have a new community, Brightside community going there. It's going pretty good. Had a little snafu with Steve. Have you joined back up yet?
I'm not sure how to do it. I don't know if you have to invite me again. I don't know.
No,
how to
I
do
tried.
It.
I think all you got to do is just invite yourself.
Oh, fine. Okay. Oh, I'll do it then. I'll do it.
Click on it again. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was promoted and then demoted.
Yeah. Did you hear about that one, John?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you how fair. It's pretty funny. Steve is truly the antithesis of Brightside Home Theater. It's great having him on board.
Discerning.
Discerning member.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you're not on Twitter, and I understand why people are gun shy of Twitter. That's the right term. If people don't want to be on Twitter, but this new community thing is pretty cool because you can just get on and get right in the community and don't ever leave. It's awesome because then all you see is home theater stuff. And we're starting out. We've got 30 plus members right now. And what the heck is that?
What?
You're on? Nothing's changed.
You guys can't hear that?
No, nothing at all. No, sounds the same.
Something just played in my headphones, and I have no idea what it is.
Don't know.
Is it the special videos you've got?
It was a commercial for something, but I don't know where it came from. And I don't. But you guys couldn't hear it?
No, no. Nothing at all. No. It sounds normal.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No.
Is it just in your head, Deej? Does this happen often?
That's that freaky.
The voices
was,
in your head.
No. Yeah, it had music. It was like show tunes. It was a commercial for something, and I was like, what the heck was that? And I was like, I didn't hit anything or anything. But anyways.
Okay. A psychotic break, Deej. It's a bit, you know, a bit early in the evening for that.
Apparently, yeah. So we have a few listener experiences, but we'll move those to next week because we are running late. So thank you to everybody for participating. We did get, let's see, we got this one here as a comment. Eric Ridgely says 4K Avatar 4K on Kaleidoscape must own. So apparently he's taken the day and already seen it. So yep. I've seen a few scenes of it and it is fantastic. But I hadn't recognized that name before. Sorry if you've been around.
No, I think he's new.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. Thanks, Eric. Paul Hart, did you do that to me, Paul? Shortwave radio interference.
Something beamed from
space.
That
was weird. Yeah, that was very weird. Comments for next week. There was a great Audioholics podcast out. Danny Speakers talked about it. If you guys haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, check that out. Go to Audioholics podcast. Brent Butterworth isn't on it anymore. It's the one that Brent was on before. It's got a new host, and the latest one has a gentleman on there. It's probably Paul probably knows him. He's a recording engineer, and he talks about the physical media. He talks about audio tracks and what it takes to make them, the compression of them, what streaming does, what this and that. And it's pretty amazing podcast for home theater people to listen to because it really gives you an idea of what goes into getting these out and stuff. And we could talk about it more next week if you guys listen to it or something. But I really, really enjoyed it. I'd love to talk about it more. So, but yeah, other than that, I had that in the notes too. So other than that, do you guys have anything else?
Nope. That's it. We'll tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, I think it is.
Yeah. We don't know what universe we're going to be in, but.
No,
yeah.
Well, quite, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. So. All right. And probably John Wick for next week. John Wick 4.
I'll definitely have seen it by next week, even if I've got to watch it a little bit, but I'm going to try and see the whole thing.
Have you seen it before, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have?
I saw a screener. Yeah. In the cinema room.
Oh,
but I watched the first 5 minutes. No, I know. And I watched the first 5 minutes of the 4K disc and was just like, wowzers.
Yeah.
So I've got to choose my moment.
I'm probably going to watch it again before then. So I'll save
it. It is great.
It is. It really is. So, all right. That will do it for this week. Everybody have a great week. And
go push play.
What he said.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.